Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.
Excellent. Welcome to the show. I'm back for Alan Lee is back.
Yeah, man.
How's it going, Alan?
Great. Great. How's it going, Keith?
Good. You've been in New York for the longest month ever.
Wow. Yeah, it was. It's been a while since I've been away that long of a while. And I was in Harlem, visiting my my sister has a building in Harlem.
Oh, does she?
And, it's historical Harlem. It's where jazz was played in the 1920s. And it's a African-American community. You can Google all this.
Yeah. Can you hear me? I could hear me.
You know what? I can hear you.
Excellent.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
I could definitely hear you.
Well, I hope Douglas will hear us.
Yeah. Well, before we bring him up, we got to talk about you because you've been gone for a month and I've had to do two of these by myself.
I know. And I was taking care of my mom.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't mind doing them by myself, but you're my trusty sidekick.
Yes, yes.
So, when the guests don't get my joke, I, look at you and you laugh.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Ed McMahon.
Yeah. And you're not there. So, the guests didn't get my joke, so I was just looking at myself.
No.
I'm like,
oh.
That's funny.
That's funny. I'm laughing.
Yeah. But no, I've been well. I've been doing stand-up, I actually went to the bar a couple of nights ago, and I met this girl. And this girl was, kind of weird, because she was asking personal questions, and you just met her, And she's like, so how big is your thing? You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I was like, actually, it's quite small. And then she starts laughing, and I was like, oh, you got a humiliation fetish too, huh? Excellent.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, that's how I score the ladies.
Man, a humiliation.
Because I'm a fast thinker.
Beautiful. You know what? I'm so glad to be back.
Yeah.
I miss this.
You miss this?
Yeah. After this joke you just said, I don't know because I was lost in New York. I said, where are the humiliation jokes that I'm used to hearing?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I'm glad that I could bring them back to you.
Beautiful, man.
And, but...
We live for comedy, you and me.
I should probably get this out of the way to, because I always forget this. But
go ahead.
If you like the show, follow us on the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. At Razor Riffs.
Beautiful.
And then subscribe to us on the iTunes at Razor Riffs.
Razor Riffs.
That's
E-R-Z-A.
R-I-F-T-S.
Right. Razor Riffs.
Right. So, and then if you like the show, or even if you don't like the show, give us a rating, and write us a review, we can improve. We have to get 100 reviews by the end of the year. We're at 49 or 48 or something.
Yeah.
So we're almost halfway. So hopefully after this show, we can get to that 60 mark.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And you keep going out to these bars and meeting these girls, it's going to go up each time. That's one right there.
Yeah. I could just see the newest review. Keith's thing was really that small.
One like.
Yeah. But hey, it gets us the review. It gets review. And then Sam and Ronan, they're like, oh, good job.
Sam. Yes, Sam. Sam was glad to see us. Do you notice?
I know. The trusty director.
Producer at LA.
Whatever. he just says action.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
Bugs us in an hour.
Well.
But, no, man, it's going to be fun. We got a great guest.
We do indeed.
Yeah, this guy's one of my favorites when I was a kid. I watched all his movies. Disney movies. He was in all those Disney movies. He was in Cool Runnings with John Candy.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. He was in Operation Dumbo Drop with your favorite actor, Danny Glover.
I love Danny.
Yeah. He was in That Darn Cat, which was actually one of my favorite movies. He was in Eight-Legged Freaks, which I've never seen. He was in Cosby, the show.
Oh, everybody watched that.
Everybody watched that. I mean, I'm sure now everyone wishes they didn't because of, supporting an evil man.
Well, you remember how much I like Bill Cosby on I Spy. I told another guest.
Yeah. But we should tell the guest this story.
Okay. Sure.
So, Dougie Doug.
Sesame Street.
He did Sesame Street. Right. Yeah. He did a thing with Elmo. How come everyone likes Elmo?
Likable. Yeah. Well, there you go.
That's a good
question.
We're
reaching there for a question, and you, Sesame Street, yeah. Elmo.
Well, we got Dougie Doug, and we're about to call him right now, and I'm excited. I'm very nervous because you know how I don't.
And he's in New York City, where just not where I was.
Yeah, exactly. I get nervous over phone interviews because I get like weird, you know. So,
but, well, there's nobody here. Just yeah. You and me.
Hello. I'm sorry that I am not present to receive your call. Please leave a message. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey, Doug, it's Keith. Gonna give you a call back. Bye.
At the tone.
All right. So, he didn't pick up. And, So what we'll do is we'll wait a minute, and then we'll try him again.
That's a good plan. I like that plan.
So... that's the reason why phone interviews scare me.
Well, remember when I was alone with Ron Lynch?
Did that happen?
It did. Ron, the great Ron Lynch, and I was alone.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking at the clock myself.
Uh-huh.
And the bell, it just rang just a minute.
Yeah.
So it's a tense moment here.
It is very tense because like now I'm scared because if the phone went straight, it's either... he's on the phone, and he's doing a different interview.
Mm.
Or, yeah, right?
Well,
he's from New York, and I thought maybe it was 12 o'clock. Like,
oh, wait a minute.
Right?
Hold on a second. It's 3 o'clock over there.
Yeah. So I'm a little scared.
It's 3 p.m.
Because that would be like a Dumb and Dumber moment for me. You know what I mean?
You're making a very good point, because it is 3 p.m. over there.
Yeah. Well, we'll try him one more time, and...
Hello, I'm sorry that I'm not present to receive your call. Please leave a message. Thank you.
All right.
So. At the tone, please record your...
All right, so he didn't pick up. We'll have our producer give him a ring or an email,
right.
And we'll see what's going on.
So you've been here. And
so tell us about your day.
Well, I was in New York. I helped my mother out. You know, she's an elderly lady, in very good shape, and so I took care of her. Took her around the city. Helped, you know, fixed up the apartment. You know, repaired little deals that needed to be fixed. And my sister took me to Governor's Island, and that's where they had prisons for the British and then some of the colonials. So it was a prison island.
Oh, Governor's Island.
Yeah,
awesome. We are,
I'm free now. I'm off of Governor's Island. I'm back here with you, and it's amazing. Look at this day. Look at this. I can't believe this weather.
This is amazing weather.
It's so beautiful here.
I'm just hold on 1 second. I'm just like a little, let me message him. Okay, we'll try one more time, and then we'll figure something out.
We could always have Stephen Briggs call.
Stephen Briggs.
Hello, I'm sorry that I am not present to receive your call. Please leave a message. Thank you.
Did you want to call Jay?
I don't think Jay.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Jay Moore.
Hey, Doug, it's Keith. Just giving you a call at the studio.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Oh. Hey, Doug, it's Keith. Just giving you a call at the studio.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey, Doug, it's Keith. Just giving you a call to see if you're still going to do the podcast.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Oh, man, if he doesn't pick up, that's what the whole show is going to be about. Oh, he's calling. Oh, it's ringing. But I'm on my personal phone.
Yeah. Because you were using the computer here.
Hey, Doug, it's Keith. Doing great. Can I give you a call back at the studio number? Okay. Thanks, pal. Right. Okay. Well, I just called him on my cell phone. And
Did you speak to him? That was him?
That was definitely him. All right. So we're giving him a call again.
So what number was here, I wonder?
No, it was definitely his number. Oh, see, it's ringing. Thanks, pal. Oh, man, I was going to have a heart attack.
It's a showbiz moment.
Hello?
Hey, Doug, it's Keith.
Hey, Doug.
Hello?
Hey, how are you? Can you hear me? Doug?
Doug?
Hello?
Hello?
Doug, can you hear us?
Hello? It's one of the switches, me.
It's one of us.
Hello?
Can you hear us, Doug?
Hello?
Doug?
Hello? Is everybody there?
I don't know.
Hello?
Hey, can you hear us? Can you get sound? Doug. Check, 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 check. Doug. What's going on with the phone, man? Hey, he kept saying hello, but he acted like he couldn't hear us. Should we call him again? He hung up. Clicker. Cancel. Should we try it again? Oh, yeah, it's ringing. Do you think he can't hear us?
Hello?
Hey, Doug, can you hear us?
Hello?
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 Doug? Can you hear us?
Hello?
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 Should I turn on the volume? Maybe you can't hear me. Hey, Doug, can you hear us?
Hello?
Hello? Oh. This is weird. Should we have him call? Oh, he's calling us. Should we pick up?
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Oh, excellent. Doug can hear us now. Sorry, we were having technical difficulties.
No problem.
All right. All right, cool. Everything's all good then? Sam.
Oh, great. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. I was having like a heart attack, man.
Cardiac arrest right here in the studio.
Yeah, and it turns out all I had to do was hit the volume button.
Exactly.
No, but like I called you and went straight to voicemail. I was like, oh my, I thought like you forgot or something, or you know, because I thought because you're in New York, you know what I mean. So I thought I did a Dumb and Dumber moment. So I'm like,
I kept answering the phone, and no, there was nobody on the other line. You know, so I didn't.
Ah,
I don't know what it was.
Well, you're awesome, Doug. Thank you so much for doing this, man. This is
no problem. I always like to talk about myself. You know, it's like my favorite topic.
Here you go.
I think that's what everyone's favorite topic is themselves.
I agree.
Yeah. But like I kind of do you ever like when find yourself like you know everything about yourself, but when someone people ask you questions, you kind of just like make up an answer just to make yourself seem more cool. You know what I mean?
Never.
He doesn't do that.
I don't know.
I realize how cool I am when I'm answering people's questions. I go, wow, I didn't realize I was that cool.
Here you go.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, because like, I look like the kid from Two and a Half Men, so whenever people ask me questions, they're like, what's it like working with Charlie Sheen? And I was like, oh, it's pretty cool. You know? And then they're like,
his name is Angus. Yeah. Oh my God. Ooh. His parents didn't like him either.
Yeah. And then you find out that his parents were vegetarians, which is kind of ironic.
Ironic.
Yeah. But, but no, Doug, I have a question for you. And, you know, I'm sure you get this a lot, but do people refer to you by your first or your last name?
Right? I've never heard that one before. That's original.
Oh my God.
Oh, really?
Oh my God.
Wow. I thought for sure. Like, Alan's like, he's probably heard that all the time.
I said, God, please.
Usually people approach me with just total reverence.
Nah.
And it's Sir Doug or Mr. Doug. Ooh. Or
Well, I like that.
You know, that sort of thing. Never with the kind of a flippancy that you just did.
Well, it's a good thing you're not in studio, because if you were in studio, I'd like just go up to you and be like, hey, you want to kiss my egg?
Oh, my.
But see, you're a comedian, so, you know,
we're allowed to
mock everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
there is no reverence.
That's true. But you did comedy when you were 17. Is that right? When you started it? Wow. What was it like starting it that young? Because I started when I was like 15, but it was open mics. It wasn't real, you know what I mean? It was like poetry nights and stuff.
I think it was unsupervised, and I was already living a life that was wild anyway. So I was just like, oh, here's another environment that's kind of wild. And so I didn't really think of it as a career thing. It was just sort of like I had frustration and I was trying to express myself, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before I knew it, I was like, you know, had a series on ABC.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah. I wish ABC would call me, man.
I'm sorry?
I said, I wish ABC would call me, but they think I'm bad because I look like Angus.
Oh my. That's wild.
They're like, we don't want Keith. He looks too much like Angus.
They're like, why would we get Keith when we can get Angus?
Exactly. Like, Angus has proven to be a winner. But when I was growing up, you were like the guy I watched in all the movies. You know, Cool Runnings is one of my favorites, and then Operation Dumbo Drop. And I actually loved That Darn Cat.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yes. I finally found someone that enjoys it.
Yeah, but I loved it, man. Like, that was I would say, your first main starring role, you know?
That's true, yes.
So, and the question I had for you was what's his name? Dean Martin. Is that Dean Martin?
No, I think.
Who is
the original guy that did it.
Dean in it, right?
Dean, what's his name? Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I met him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But you played his role. So
Dean Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, if my grandfather was interviewing you, he'd know that answer. But
exactly.
He's not here.
But
he was huge in the mid 50s.
Yeah,
right. The mid 60s. He
That's
was
right.
huge.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you know, now it's all about, you know, Chris Pratt. So
right, exactly.
But like, how was that like taking over his role? Like, did he like think you did a good job with that? And like, or was he one of those guys you didn't?
I don't
really
know. It's like they paid me like a lot of money, so that's all I was pretty much thinking about.
Oh. It's all about that.
I was like, I curse every day, and I'm in family films. Ain't this is incredible? how much? And he actually came to me. It was like, this wonderful work you're doing in the family area.
Wow.
I mean, he was very sweet, very conservative, you know, lovely man. But you know, he was wonderful. Keep this up. The children love these sort of things.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah, and then you realize that 20 years later when the children are talking to you, right?
That's true. He was absolutely right.
Yeah.
He was absolutely right. So, generations upon generations. Yeah.
Now, like, you can't find, like, those movies anywhere. They're not even on Amazon because no one has DVD or VHS anymore. You know?
And that's something, yeah.
It's like,
Yeah, I mean, other than Cool Runnings, which is perennial, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was cool. You worked with John Candy. That's must have been, like, really... I don't want to say intimidating because, you know, he's, like, the comic genius, but, like, that must have been, like... You know what I mean? Like, this is John Candy.
No, he wasn't intimidated. He worked very hard to make sure that you were comfortable, and mm-hmm. he bent over backwards. So he was more of the
very nice guy.
You know, he was a decent person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you did Cool Runnings, was that like one of the coolest things? Because I heard you didn't really like the script. I don't know if that was true or not, but that's what the production notes say.
No. Yeah, I mean, I the first script I got was a drama, so it was nothing like what ended up being the movie.
Yeah.
So, I just thought this is a ridiculous drama. So, I mean, you know, but it's like, you know, the whole development process, you know, by the time it became a comedy, I was like, oh yeah, this makes absolute sense. You know,
yeah. It's funny go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, it's funny how, like, when you get a script, you know, because I've only done one movie, and that script was, like, it was not funny when I read it, but then when you watch it, it was, like, kind of funny, except for when I'm not in it.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. but yeah.
Yeah, it's strange. You never know how something's going to turn out. You just really can't predict.
Yeah.
But that movie was just so, like, you know, I mean, nobody believes in that movie. You know, the studio didn't believe in that movie at all.
Yeah, that's so shocking, because that's
like, what? Yeah.
It's like the most inspiration movie, you know? It's one of the most.
Yeah, I know.
So.
Yeah, they just, you know, but it's just, you know, studios, they're just looking at precedent. And, oh, well, you know, maybe this will be like that, or it's like it's a Rocky story, and, you know, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, they missed just about everything.
It's one of those movies that they should have done a sequel to.
Yeah. I tried to, but it was all, you know, it's all tied up in conflict between the producer and Disney.
Yeah.
Producer Dawn Steele was a big wig. She ran Columbia Pictures, and so she felt like once the movie was a hit, huge hit, they should, you know, roll out the red carpet and give her a parade and
you
know, whatever. And they weren't solicitous enough for her. So I said, look, let's do a sequel. She's like, have Disney call me. I was like, I guess that's money I'm losing. God damn.
I would have been like, well, do you know where he's frozen? Like, unfreeze Disney and be like, hey, can you call Donna?
Exactly. Hello, Disney. Like, isn't that Hollywood egotistical BS, you know?
Yeah, that's why you live in New York.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I lived out there for a couple of years, but it was just so strange. I was like, you know, people were like, I'll pick you up, you know, in 20 minutes. And it'd be like 3 hours later, and they're like, hey, dude. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
You don't hate dude me 3 hours later.
And then, like, especially if it was a studio driver, then you're like, well, I guess you're off the hook, you know what I mean, for being late.
That's right.
It's like, hire someone who has an education and can tell time. But I had a question about That Darn Cat. I heard that you auditioned Eddie Murphy. Is that true?
Did I audition Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, like, I heard he auditioned for it, but you out-auditioned him. Like, you got the part.
No, I didn't even audition for that.
Oh.
He gave that to me, but...
Oh. So
I don't know. That's absolutely, positively not true.
All right.
Absolutely not.
That's the thing about the internet,
man.
There was
another movie that I was going to do that they offered to Eddie Murphy, but he didn't do it, and I didn't do it either, but, you know.
Yeah.
But that's as close as I've gotten to Eddie Murphy.
I know, but I was going to, like, give you, like, mad props on that. I was going to be like, way to help burn Eddie.
I can't allow that to stand, so that's not true.
Yeah, we got to destroy that rumor. But that's the thing that's scary about the internet, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know what's up on there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of odd, though, because things like that obviously do happen. Like, you know, when somebody's sort of, like, hot for the 5 seconds I was hot, you know, I did have a lot of options, you know. And, you know, there was a sense of, okay, you know, I was in contention for things that, you know, I was like, well, really? You know, this person's interested in that, you know, and and you're still talking to me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so it did get kind of bizarre for about, you know,
yeah,
6 months to a year.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, my girlfriend still thinks you're hot.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm 48 years old, so I'll take it wherever I can get it. I have a dad bod, you know, the whole bit. So I'm Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well,
it's like charity. I appreciate it.
But Alan Lee had a very big serious question for you. So he's like raising his hand like a little 4-year-old. So go ahead.
4-year-old, my. He's really coming. I just came back from New York, and I just get this. Listen, Doug, I'm a big fan of you, and how you worked with one of my favorite actors, and I've been in rehab for over 10 years. And Keith wanted me to ask about...
What?
About the actor from Lethal Weapons, that...
Oh, Danny Glover?
Danny Glover, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so... What was your experience with him?
What does rehab have to do with Danny Glover?
Yes, go ahead.
No, it was a great experience. I mean, he was very nurturing, and he had a very strange personality. I thought it was just kind of like just an irritable old man.
Interesting.
So we did a movie with an elephant. So he was like, "This elephant smell like period." He's odd.
That's funny.
I was like, "Oh yeah, yes sir, it does." Ironically, it does smell like period.
That's great.
It's just like, older people kind of just like, what are you doing? Come on, bring me a donut. It's too cold. It's hot out here. A donut and heat, that's not going to fix it.
Well, it's funny about that movie because I love Danny Glover. I don't know why Alan mentioned rehab.
That was a practical joke that we've done before, and I was going to tell
Doug. I don't know what he's talking about.
We messed it up. See, I go.
I tried to ignore it.
Yeah, see, that's what happens. And then there's this pause, and then we go on, and I screwed the joke up.
Doug, I have no idea what this guy's talking about.
We've done this before. And, I say I've been in rehab for 10 years.
But I thought maybe Danny Glover was in rehab. I don't know.
Thank you.
I was like,
Doug is trying to save me.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
He's trying to save you the embarrassment.
It had to make some kind of sense. Yeah.
You can't ask it unless it makes some kind of sense.
You're so overwhelmed with someone I work with. See, and then they stop.
Yeah.
And then there's supposed to be a little laughter there.
Don't you just love those questions that it's like a 5-minute question?
Yeah.
Like, just get to the point. You don't have to mention rehab and Lethal Weapon.
That was part of the joke.
Yeah, because now I want to watch Lethal Weapon and go to rehab. Like, that guy did it. Sounds pretty cool. But no, like, that movie must have been like, because like Danny Glover and Ray, what's his name?
Ray Liotta, yeah. Dennis Leary.
Yeah, and then Dennis Leary. Like, those are like three like pretty scary guys. You know what I mean?
Cool cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a testosterone. It really was. It was just like, knocking for position. Who stole the scene? And we were in Thailand, for several months.
Oh,
we started to go crazy, and we had to leave the country because there was a international incident that put Americans at risk. It was just crazy. So we finished the movie in Florida. It was nutty.
Yeah,
but those guys were all, there's some things I cannot say.
Oh, no, no,
Let's just say Ray Liotta is just strange.
I've actually...
He's a very strange man.
I've actually heard that because I have, like, this has nothing to do with him, but I'm obsessed with John Cusack. And they did a movie together, and I heard that John Cusack didn't get along with him because he was so... And I'm just thinking, I care more about John Cusack.
If it was a competition between for care, I would give it to John Cusack.
but he's
a strange man. I did two movies with him. I did another movie called Snowman with him.
Did he remember you from Operation Dumbo Drop?
Yes. And I mean, it's hard to forget because it's like a very small cast.
Yeah,
we did a. What do you call it? Military training together. It was weird. They had to sleep out in the jungle like for a couple nights, which is just like, look, I'm getting paid to act. What is this?
Yeah, that's
and they had
the
like
real
Dale Dye, who was the military advisor, like, come on, you pussies. Drop that kid, you pussies. You know, yeah. I was like, look, you know, I'm like an actor. Please don't yell at me, you know. Dennis was funny because Dennis, he left the jungle and no one knew where he was. He was at the hotel ordering room service.
Oh.
Yeah. And then they found out they were doing a Disney film and they had to recut all those pussies, right?
Oh, man. Sorry if I ruined that film for anyone.
No, it's fine. But I also had a question because, like, I listened to your interview with Art about the power, about the Cosby guy. And I got to say, I know you guys are buddies and all, but, man, I didn't think he got your jokes. You know what I mean?
He's hell with him.
Yeah. So I was like, oh.
I mean,
I thought that was hilarious.
I think my humor is intelligent, says it all.
Yeah.
I thought it was so intelligent.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I thought your humor was very great, and the guy who wrote the Power book just didn't get it. So maybe he should read it. I don't know. But do you get a lot of Cosby questions right now? Because of, you know, I don't watch the news, but I hear he's a very bad man.
I actually don't get a lot. I get them, you know, periodically when I guess the news runs something and somebody's like, hey, you know,
yeah,
what do you, you know, I'm like, I don't know anything about his sex life. So when I started working with him, he was 66. So I don't have a tendency to be like, how was your night last night with the chicks? You know, the 66 year old.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I care for him. I love him. He's I knew him as a good person, a good guy.
Legend.
He did a lot for me. He paid well. He was a good boss. I noticed him help a lot of people. So, you know, obviously I'm shocked by these sort of things. I knew he was a philanderer. Everybody knew he was a philanderer. That he was a very famous philanderer. But, you know, the rest of it, I know nothing about.
You know what's weird is, like, I mean, obviously, you know, whatever, you know, I don't think he's the greatest person now, but, I mean, I saw him do stand-up, and he was just remarkable. He did 5 hours of...
Oh, yeah.
5 hours of clean material.
Fine.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and they only, like, aired 1 hour, but it's like, you know, I always thought he was the greatest stand-up of all time, even better than Pryor. Yeah. And now with all this, he's not even in the books, you know?
Yeah, which is strange. But yes, as far as stand-up is concerned, I don't know if there's anybody that can touch that. Because, if you could go for hours and hours and hours. And I've seen him live. He invited me to his last shows in Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, wow. You know, he didn't think I wanted to go see him perform. You know, we worked with each other for several years. And so he was like, hey, why don't you come out and, you know, hang out and... Atlantic City or something. I was like, no, I want to go to your show, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, but, it's unfortunate. I mean, you know, it's kind of weird. I know a lot and, you know, a lot I don't say
about
him and about his life. And I just think it's just sort of inappropriate for me to talk about him personally. But, you know, the things I can say is that I, you know, like I said, I worked with him for a long time. He showed me a lot of care. I was, you know, I was 25 when I met him. So, you know, it was that time me trying to learn about how to be a person, how to be a male, you know, a male person. So he was obviously a very, I think a very good mentor to have for a young man. Now, obviously, I put the point on man.
Yeah.
That is girls. I don't know about that.
That's a different topic.
A lot of people from that generation, guys, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know, they had some sketchy shit, you know, in the game. So,
you know, on acting,
if he did it, you know, he got to go under the bus and go under the jail, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, other than that. I'm sorry I've been going on too long about this.
No, no, God, you're just very generous. You know, on acting styles, you've done so many different acting styles with Law and Order and sitcoms and Sesame Street and films.
Yeah.
And what's amazing to me is, you know, is when an actor can adjust to all those different styles, because, you know, they're all nuanced. And
thank you.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic. And
that's one of the things people don't really focus on with me, is that I really love acting, and I'm you know, primarily an actor, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so I was established as a comedian. I became famous for comedies, and so therefore people, you know, still regard me as a comedian. I'm primarily an actor, and so the good news is that those projects came when I was fascinated with one thing or another. So when I was sort of in the family film area, I was really, really seriously like, I'm going to be the PG black comedian of my generation. You know, I was really primarily concerned with family oriented things and trying to build that kind of brand and so forth. I was obviously making tons of money doing that, and so therefore that's why I said, I'm going to go with this. But that wasn't my, you know, that's because of the nature of commerce and marketing. And so you're like, hey, you know, this is what they're paying for, so that's what I'll do. But then once I, you know, things simmered down in terms of my career, I had the opportunity to do like episodic stuff and dramatic stuff. And so people were more willing to give me a chance to do that. So I said, hey, I'm going to try this. So it just so happened that I was able to focus on various dimensions of my ability at different periods, you know. So, and it's, you know, I guess that's what happens when you're around for 30 years, you know, you can do that.
Yeah.
It's weird because a lot of people don't realize you've been around for as long as you've been around, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, like...
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like I said, I know you from growing up, and then, like, you know, like, I told everyone Dougie Doug's going to be on the show. And I was like, Dougie Doug, you know, from That Darn Cat, you know, and it's just, they didn't believe me, you know, I was like, oh, whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean that as a compliment, because I love you, you know, and like, I'm...
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I also heard you write poetry. Is that true?
Yeah. I've published poetry. It was originally published in Spin magazine, which is, I guess, no longer. It may be around now. I do that. I do all sorts of things.
I really like poetry because, like, I write jokes, and then, like, you know how, like, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but, you know, after, like, a bad set or something, when an audience member says, "Go suck, kill yourself," you know? I think that's the best. I think that's the best time to write a poem.
I love that.
It's not a bad time, not a bad time.
Because then you get all your negative, you know, and then you write it.
Inspiration.
That's actually healthy. I didn't, you know. Back then I used to just drink heavily, so that poem would have been better.
Yeah. Well, I hear drinking works too. But yeah, you know, I've been in rehab with Danny Glover, so
I'm not going to live this down.
it's always nice when you mess up a bit live.
Yeah.
Well, I just had to rehearse
but
it
you
again.
You called it back with such panache. And
there you go.
Talent.
There you go.
That takes something. That takes.
This man's a nice guy.
Yeah. So, Doug, you have a new podcast that I was told to shout about. It's called True Equality Podcast with Dougie Doug. What's it on?
True Equality, yes.
Yeah, what's it on where people could subscribe and listen to? And
you can go to SoundCloud. It's up there and ready to go.
Is it like what kind of podcast is it? Is it like an interview, or are you doing jokes, or are you saying what's on your mind?
It's sort of like it's what's on my mind. It's kind of commentary and jokes, and I call it self-help, but it's really just humor.
Excellent. It's like self-help for the humor.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So you and I deal with big questions, big questions. Like the first one is about identity. The second one is about manhood. So I try to deconstruct, you know, what these things mean from a comic point of view, you know, at this time.
It's like
so they're big questions.
Are you familiar with Jordan Peterson, the lecturer professor that talks about those same topics? So it seems to me you're doing that with humor. You know, he talks about all the identity and philosophy and growing up and adulthood.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I like Jordan Peterson.
Yeah. Great.
Similar kind of approach. Obviously, he's academic, so you know, I'm trying to make it more sort of palatable, I guess, to people, to folks who may be turned off by
So it's kind of like if
anything educational.
But it's kind of like if one person is trying to find their identity, I would say, Doug, I'm trying to find my identity. I don't know who I am. You would say, steal someone who's better looking's credit card and just live their life.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Exactly. And then run like hell from the authorities.
Yeah. That's true. I don't think they care so much about identity theft nowadays, though, because like everyone gets it.
Yeah, that is true. Even though when I did That Darn Cat, which is a long time ago, they had a division devoted toward the actual FBI. They had a division dedicated to internet crimes. Yeah.
That's right. Huh. Internet crime.
Nobody was in the room. It was like, okay.
Yeah.
like they're all in the field. You know?
Oh man.
Okay.
So did you, when you did that movie, did you actually hang out with FBI agents and stuff?
I just toured the FBI in Columbia, South Carolina. I just toured one of their bureaus. And, you know, they just asked questions. You know,
oh, that'd be cool. Like that. I'd be like, I'd be like, hi, I'm Dougie Doug. I'm here to take a tour. I'm training for a movie. What movie? That Darn Cat. I know it's.
They actually did tell me after a while, you know, we really don't care what you do. I was so earnest. You know, like,
that's
what interesting. How do you do this? They were like, we don't care what you do.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's cool. That's cool.
Oh, man. So, Doug, do you still do stand up or do you no longer do it? Like, are you out of that?
I no longer do stand up. I maybe about a year ago, I did a date just to see what was, you know, percolating.
Mm-hmm.
And it went well, you know, it was very good. But I like, it's just not something that I'm that interested in.
Yeah.
I think I just don't like, I'm not a nocturnal person, and any, I'm just not. I just don't, the nights, I just can't, you know.
Yeah.
But my kids are getting older now, you know, so it's possible that I might do it. You know, when you have small children, you know.
Yeah.
You kind of, it's a different lifestyle, but.
Yeah, because you don't want to make fun of them because they're small and you love them. But now that they're older,
embarrass them or whatever.
Now that they're older, you're like, you know what? Here's the truth. You were a bit of a nightmare.
Not that you can take it.
But I think you should. I think you should write a book. You know, the Doug E. Doug biography book, as your life as a comedian and a poet, and you know, just doing.
That would be good.
That's a good idea.
That's a very good idea.
You get a New York Times bestseller.
There you go.
And you could say, this is to Angus. But no, if I ever write a movie, I want you to be in it. I just don't know how to pay you, but I want you to be in it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And,
I mean, you know, just try me. I mean, you know, who knows? I might feel charitable and just do it.
Oh, boy.
Just because you know, gave me the great idea to write a biography.
This man is a nice man.
I know what chapter is going to be about Bill Cosby, though. It's going to be called 4 Years a Slave.
Well, Doug, the thing about podcasts is you said that live on air, so when I ask you, I just got to play that back and be like, doot, you know? Like, I didn't say that. Oh, crap. Well, Doug, so you do your podcast, because we got to run out, we're running out of time, but you do your podcast once a week, or how long has it been going on?
Once a week, yes.
Once a week? And what days, so listeners can get the Dougie Doug stuff?
I have two up now, so you can catch up on it. But you know, let's say Thursdays of every Thursday, you can see something new, you hear something new. So
yeah.
True Equality Podcast with Dougie Duck. They can check it out.
Oh, that's going to be
fantastic.
It's going to be awesome, man. And thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
I hope you had fun despite the
thank
phone.
You guys.
Really
stuff.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks. Take care.
Take care, Doug.
Take care, Doug.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
He is a nice guy.
That was awesome, man. We had phone trouble, though.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of...
Because I was having, like, a heart attack. I was, like, breathing really heavy.
Well, I tell you, you know, the connection was it looked like that there was no connection.
You know, in the sense that our director came in here and didn't know what...
It's always so embarrassing because it's like, no. Like, I thought for sure, like, that was going to... I was, like, I was beat. My heart was pacing.
Yeah, it happened. We had the same situation with somebody was driving... It's a while
back. Oh, that was Jay Moore.
Oh,
and then he came to the studio.
That's right. That's
you know what I mean?
That's right.
And speaking of Jay Moore, I got a plug.
By the way,
date.
Tonight.
Tonight, it's. Oh, man, I got hiccups. You ever have a hiccup when you're about to say something?
Many, many times.
It's like so embarrassing, especially when it's live. Tonight, Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv with Jay Moore. Tickets are at www.irvine.improv.com. It's going to be fun. It's going to be my first time working with Jay.
Oh, wow.
So I hope to do great. So,
Will,
you know.
Tonight at 7.
Tonight at 7 and 9:45.
Two shows.
Two shows tomorrow, one show Sunday.
It's a great club.
It's awesome. And I hope to do very well because, you know, I could be like, yes, I'm with Jay, you know.
Well,
and I could get, like, other shows and other work.
Jay has told you, us, he wants to come back to the podcast. He just, you know.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, I got to do really well.
Oh, you will.
And then.
You always do.
Yeah. And then we're also going to Vegas. I'm going to be performing at the Tropicana.
That's right.
With Jeremy Hotz. I love Jeremy. And it's going to be good.
Because shows here.
Yeah. I love Jeremy. I haven't worked with him in about half a year.
He's a friend of yours.
Yeah, a good friend. And it's going to be fun because I have the funnest time doing comedy with him because he's so funny, you know. So tickets could be bought on laughfactory.com and then Tropicana. And you and I, we're going to get like a computer.
Vegas podcast.
Or something. We're going to go to Vegas and we're going to interview people in Vegas. And here's the thing, what we're going to do. We're going to do it just like this, but in Vegas.
Sure.
And we're going to get these interviews and we're getting them in the can, you know what I mean?
It'll be a shoot. It'll be a done deal.
It'll be a done deal.
It's going to be fun because we've got people lined up, and it's like what?
We should say who we have lined up so we could like get the audience attention.
Okay. The coups are confirmed.
Okay, confirmed. John Carpilella.
Beautiful.
I'm probably saying his name wrong, but that's because I have a speech stutter. Confirmed. Piff the Magic Dragon.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Probably saying that wrong.
You're saying
that's
it.
Because I have a speech stutter. I'm trying to get Alice Cooper.
Oh,
now that would be cool.
I don't remember that. That would be fantastic. I love Alice.
He's not confirmed. I'm trying.
Yeah, you're trying.
I'm like
that
making
would be fantastic.
I'm making calls and trying to like do it. I'm gonna get Jeremy to do it, and you know he's been saying he'll do it for years, and we're finally gonna go to his room and do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what's great. We'll have our stuff, and we'll just record it.
Trying to get Harry Basil.
That would be fantastic.
You know, he's been saying for years he'll do it, but we'll go to his room and do it.
Listen, we're knocking.
I'm trying to get...
Room service.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Carrot Top.
That would be fun.
That would be fun, because I have a huge vegetable fetish. But, you know, that's the point. Like, I want to get, like, all these Vegas acts so we could, like, do them in Vegas.
It looks like it's going to happen.
It'll be LA Talk Radio or LV.
It'll
Vegas.
Be the Vegas show.
Yeah. And that's August 6th through the 13th.
Beautiful.
So that's what I got. And then I'm doing the Rec Room in Huntington Beach with Angelo Zarukas. You remember Angie?
Yeah, a friend of ours.
Yeah. August. We're in August. August 24th, Friday. Two shows. And tickets can be bought at www.recroomhb.com. And if you use promo code LAUGHS, lets you know that you're a Razor Riffs listener, you get $8 tickets nice. For both shows.
And that's Rec Room in that's Huntington Beach. Huntington Beach, the Rec Room.
Then I'm doing the Autism Awareness Show in October 5th with Jay Moore.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And here's a bigger surprise that's going to blow you out of the water. They want us to do a live Razor Riff show.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No.
Nice.
So it's going to be...
Wow, that's a nice surprise. Thank you.
Yeah.
Huntington Beach?
No. Fullerton.
Fullerton.
Yeah.
You know what? That's kind of funny because that's where you and I first met at the little bar down there.
In Fullerton.
Yeah.
I met you when you were just a young tad. I took you under my wing. And I thought I actually met you at a Del Taco.
No, that's where we ate after we did our mics at the Fender Bar by the rail tracks in Fullerton.
But Del Taco was the day we met, right?
Well, we performed in the bar there, and we would talk.
I said, "Let's go Del Taco."
Right.
And you said, "Del, it is." And then we were talking about doing a podcast, and then years later, we did a podcast.
There you go. It came true.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, guys. One more time. It was a great show. We had Dougie Doug on. You could subscribe to his podcast, True Equality. I'm saying it wrong. True Equality Podcast.
That's right. That's right.
That's one of those weird words. Equality.
Equality.
Yes, that's the word. Oh. Equality. Podcast with Dougie Doug. It sucks having a speech stutter because you're like, yeah. You know what I mean?
But you never, ever do anything on stage that's not understandable. I understand every word in your act.
Yeah, but when I read notes, because I'm like, what's this word?
Oh, you're being hard on yourself.
Operation? And then, I don't know. Well, but I thought it was funny that Doug didn't. He's never heard that joke about his name before.
You know what? I was
that
actually,
surprised
I was actually
me.
Surprised. I thought would be just every other.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be like, oh, God, I'm doing this hacky interview. People do this to me all the time.
He actually was laughing.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But what a great show, man. And if you like it, subscribe to us on iTunes, rate, review. Leave us a review. We need 100 reviews, by the end of the year. And like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Razor Riffs. And, you could see me live at www.keithreza.com. Has all my dates and it also has all old interviews
and Facebook.
Here. Yeah, but if you go to keithreza.com, you can get on the email list and see all the previous interviews from Razor Riffs.
Sure.
And so that's what I'm doing. Alan Lee, do you got anything planned?
You know, I'm writing a few things, and I'm just going to do the mics around town, relax while I'm here, since I've been back.
Are you writing something for Dougie Doug?
You know what? That's not a bad idea.
He just said he'll do it for free.
I'm telling you, the guy, we've had guests, and it's funny because when they phone in, and they've always been incredibly nice and saying, oh yeah, I'd like to get back with you and all that. Isn't that funny? I mean, there's been about three of our phone guests that have been just completely super nice.
Sam just gave us the light.
Okay.
But no, that is definitely very nice. I was just trying to hook you up so you could get Dougie Doug to do that thing.
I'd love to talk to him.
Yeah. And the Fast and the Furious movie. It's a tale for another time.
There you go.
That was a fast interview. I think half of it was because we were having phone issues. And
we lost a few minutes in the beginning, but I don't think that much. It could have been more than
Sam's giving us four minutes.
We lost that. I think it was.
All right. Well, we'll be back in a couple weeks with. We were only going to be in the studio two more times, and that's a season, pal.
Here you go.
But we're going to get some great interviews for you guys. Subscribe to us on iTunes, rate, review. It's very important. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at RazaRiffs.com. Thanks again to Dougie Doug. That was awesome. And I'm Keith Reza with Alan Lee.
And we will be back.
Excellent.
You're listening to
we messed up the Danny Glover joke.
Keith Reza and Alan Lee. Right here on LA Talk Radio.